We have been going through the book of Acts for 3 months now, and we've made it to chapter 4, and we'll continue our reading in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. If you remember our context from the previous weeks, Peter and John had gone to the temple. They had healed a man who was lame from birth. Great crowd gathered, obviously, because of this great miracle, and Peter preached Christ to them, told them to repent. Many of them did. We had thousands of people who believed in Christ, and this was not good for the religious leaders. They thought they'd gotten rid of Jesus a long time ago, and well, not that long ago. They thought they'd gotten rid of Jesus, and now instead they have more people preaching in his name. So they arrested Peter and John. We saw this last week. They took them in the middle of the council, the Sanhedrin, and they questioned them. They said, "In whose name did you do this miracle?" And Peter answered, "We did in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. He is the stone that you builders rejected," quoting Psalm 118, "and there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved." He says to these religious leaders of Israel that you cannot be saved unless you believe in the Lord Jesus. So this is the continuation. This is the reaction. Verse 13, let's go through the text. Verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," this is the council, "and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." If you remember when we were going through the Gospel of Luke, it was chapter 21 was the Olivet Discourse, and Jesus was telling his apostles about what was to come, and he had told them that people are going to lay their hands on them, people are going to arrest them, put them in jail, take them to their councils, to their synagogues, but he said, "Don't worry, when that happens, I will give you wisdom, and I will give you a mouth to speak, so that your enemies will not be able to contradict what you say." And this is exactly what we have in our passage today. They marvel, they're amazed at Peter and John. Peter and John have not been formally educated in the Jewish theological schools. They're fishermen. And just as a side note, this is just a side note. You don't need to, I'm not against theological schools. I'm not against theological schools. I am taking courses in a theological school as we speak. But what I'm trying to say is that you don't need to have been in a theological school in order to boldly and truthfully proclaim the gospel. These people had not. But they knew Christ. They knew the Word of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So these people are amazed because the apostles, who are untrained and uneducated, they're speaking with authority. They're speaking with power. They know the Old Testament. They're doing miracles. Who else did all these things? Who else spoke with great authority, though he had not been trained and knew the Old Testament better than anyone else and was doing miracles? And says that's why they realized they had been with Jesus. So look at verse 14. It says, "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." They can't answer this. The man who has been healed is standing right there. What they should have done at that moment was they should have said, you know what, we need to just stop this fighting against the apostles, fighting against God. Let's just repent. Jesus is obviously the Messiah. Let's believe in Him. Let's get baptized in His name. Let's have fellowship with these people and let's just move on. But that is not what these people are going to do. Verse 15. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" Notice in verse 16, they say, "What shall we do to these men?" They don't say, "What shall we do with these men?" "What shall we do to these men?" And you're like, "What do you mean, what shall we do to these men? They haven't done anything. They haven't committed any crimes for you to do anything to them. You shouldn't be doing anything to them at all." But this is, it's amazing, the wickedness and the hard-heartedness of some people, and I know a bunch of people like this. You know, they say, "Seeing is believing." How many times have I heard people say, "Well, if only God showed me a miracle. If only God revealed Himself to me, showed something to me, then I'd believe." Not true. Not true. The healed man, whom they know was lame for over 40 years, is standing right there before their eyes, and they're not going to believe. They're not planning on believing. That's not going to happen. We've already made up our minds. Don't confuse us with the facts. We don't want to know the evidence. That's it. I remember every time I think of this, I remember in John chapter 11, when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, when the word gets back to these same people, Caiaphas and Annas and all those, instead of saying, "Wow, Jesus raised the man who was dead for 4 days, he must be the Messiah," what do they say? They say, "Man, we have to kill Jesus because otherwise everyone's going to believe in him." This doesn't make any sense. Of course, sin doesn't make any sense. Not only are we not going to believe, says the council, not only are we not going to believe in Jesus, despite the evidence, but we're going to have a conspiracy to try and wipe it out. They don't try and defend their position against the apostles. They don't have an answer for the apostles. They just send them out, have this council. What should we do? And they say, "Well, we're going to try and silence them." Look at verse 17. It says, "But so that it spreads no further," speaking about the preaching of Christ, "but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." They say, "We do not want this to spread. It's like a disease. We are going to stamp it out, kill it right now." Now Jesus had said to his disciples, in the Great Commission, to go into all the world, spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And now you have the religious leaders of Israel who are saying, "We are not going to allow that to happen. Jesus wanted the gospel to spread. We are not going to allow that to happen." Let me tell you something. Is there anything more satanic than that? This is the work of Satan right here. When God says, "Spread the gospel," Satan tries to stop it. If there's only one way of salvation, by the gospel, Romans chapter 1, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." If there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved, Satan has one job. If there's only one way for people to be saved, by hearing the gospel and hearing about Christ, I'm going to stop people from hearing about Jesus. I'm going to stop people from hearing the gospel. And this happens all the time. It's not just these people. I've had this in my own life a number of times, even from people who are close to me. We do not want to hear about Christ. We do not want you to tell us about Christ. We do not want you to tell our children about Christ. Let them grow up and be pagans. Let them grow up and be atheists, and we can all go to hell together. Well, I didn't say that. They didn't say that. That's my interpretation of what they said. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They command them not to speak at all. Katholu. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me take you on a little side road now. Scripture teaches throughout that it is a Christian duty to submit to those who are in authority above us. You don't have to go too far in Scripture to see, citizens, we are submit to the government. Employees, submit to your employers. Students, submit to your teachers. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, submit to your parents. We find this throughout Scripture. There's a problem here now, though. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the Supreme Court of Israel. And they've said, don't preach Christ. Now, let's imagine for a moment if the Apostle Peter said, hey, this is the Supreme Court of Israel. I am obligated to obey. Therefore, okay, they don't want me to preach about Christ anymore. I won't do it. Imagine him walking out and the church coming to him and saying, well, what happened? And he says, I'm not going to talk about it. And I'm never going to mention the name of that guy again. If that had happened, that would have been the end of Christianity right there. But he doesn't do that. Peter doesn't do that. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. They turned to the Sanhedrin and they say, look, you're the judges, right? Judge this. Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? What do you think? Jesus has commanded them to proclaim the gospel. The Sanhedrin has told them not to proclaim the gospel. Now what? We have two contrasting authorities. What are we to do? Well, it's actually quite simple, but not easy to do. The principle is very simple, very easy. Now, it can be excruciating to actually do this, but the principle is very simple. If you have two authorities that are contradicting one another, you go with the higher one. And the one higher than all of them is God. We are obligated to submit to authority. That's what Scripture says. We can't just, well, I don't like what they said, so I'm not going to do it. But, if the authority commands us to do something that God forbids us to do, we have to go with what God says. If the authority forbids you to do something that God has commanded to do, you got to do what God commands. Again, I'm not saying this is easy. It can be very, very difficult. This wasn't easy for the apostles. They could get killed for doing this. And in fact, later on, they will get killed for doing this. But it's something that we're called to do. We could get into a lot of trouble. But that's what he commands. And we see this so many times in Scripture. It's not an isolated event. Let me give you a couple of examples. You all remember Daniel and the lion's den, right? Well, everyone knows Daniel and the lion's den. Yeah, but why was Daniel thrown into the lion's den? You had King Darius, the Mede, and he made a decree, a law, that said, no one is allowed to pray to any other god for 30 days except me. Now, Daniel could have said, hey, he's the king. He's given this law. I'm obligated to submit to the king. I won't pray for 30 days to anyone except him. He could have said, look, it's just 30 days. It's not a big deal. God will still be there in 30 days. Other people go their entire lives without praying. I can go for 30 days. It's not a big deal. Plus, I'm old. He's probably like 90 years old at this point. This is not the time for me to start fighting against authority. I'll just leave it. That's not what he does. He hears that the law says no praying, and he goes straight to his house, falls on his knees, prays to God, gets arrested, gets thrown to the lion's den. Because he has to follow the greater authority. Let me give you another one really quick. In the book of Exodus, chapter 1, you have Pharaoh, well, actually you have the people of Israel who are becoming a great power within Egypt. And Pharaoh says, well, I don't like this. Every time a boy is born from the Jews, let's have him killed. And he tells the midwives to go and kill the children. But it says the midwives feared God. And so when the child is born, they didn't kill it. But it's Pharaoh. It's the king of the biggest empire in the world. It doesn't matter. There's an authority higher than that. And we go based upon what the greater authority says always. What are we going to do? We have to obey what God says. The Sanhedrin says to the apostles, don't speak about Jesus. The apostles say, well, who are we going to listen to? You or God? That's the question. Look at verse 20. They say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to preach. They don't lie about it. They don't say, okay, we won't preach and then just go ahead and do it anyway. They don't say, well, we'll think about it. We'll see. We'll get back to you. They say, no. We are not going to listen to you. We are going to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter. We have to do what God has told us. Verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. It says they threatened them more, because they just said, we're not going to listen to you, so they threatened them more. But it says they let them go. Now, they don't let them go because they fear God. They don't let them go because they have compassion for them or anything like that. They let them go because of the people. The people glorifying God because of the miracle. And it would really look bad if you punish Peter and John for the miracle which everyone is glorifying God for. That would be really bad politics right now. So they say, you know what? We don't want to get anyone upset. We don't want to get anyone upset with us. We don't want to get into trouble with the people. We don't want the people to turn on us. We don't want to risk our nice position and our power that we have here. We don't want to risk our nice, comfortable lives. So we'll just let it go for now. I want you to notice something. Notice how different the attitudes of the apostles are in comparison to that of the religious leaders. The religious leaders say, we don't want to stir up the people. What will the people say? The apostles say, we could care less what the people say. We care for what God has to say. And this, Look, this is the lesson for us. This is the big lesson for us. Who are we trying to please? Are you trying to please people? Or are you trying to please God? Do you do what you do because of people or because of God? Who are we following? You see, the apostles say, well, we don't care what people say. We don't care what you have to say. We don't care what anyone says. We have our commandments from the Lord, and there you go. That's what we're going to do. I remember when I was, I can't say it was that long, when I was a teenager. And if people would say stuff about me, I would say, I don't care. I'm too cool to care what other people say about me. Now that's what I said. But in actuality, I really did care. I didn't like it. If someone said something about me, you know, in actuality, I did care, though I said I don't care. Ever since I became a Christian, I really don't care. Let me qualify that. That doesn't mean that I don't care about what anyone has to say. Okay? There are people who know the Lord much longer than I have, who are wiser than I am, who are more knowledgeable than I am, and I know that when they say something, they're trying to help me be a better Christian. That's fine. There are many people whose opinion I care about. But there are so many people, I really don't care what they have to say. Look, it's not a matter of what other people think of you. It's a matter of what God thinks of you. This is what we need to remember. Look, in the end, I'm not going to give an account to you. You're not going to give an account to me. We're not going to give an account to our parents. We're not going to give an account to our children. We're going to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And what are you going to do when you stand before Him and He says, well, did you listen to me or did you listen to other people? Did you follow me or did you follow what people told you? Did you care about other people's opinion or did you care about my opinion? That's the thing. That's the issue. And you're going to say, oh, but Nico, people are going to think we're weird. People are going to think we're crazy. People are going to think we're backward. People are going to think we're naive, that we're stupid, that we're whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Oh, I may lose my friends. I may lose my positions. I may lose whatever. It doesn't matter. What's the point if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? Peter says to them, you judge. What do you think? Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? And that's the question for all of us. And I urge you to listen to God rather than people. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.